I had a client recently that I worked with, and we increased her salary $72,000 by increasing to another organization. That changed her life, right? That's not $5,000, $10,000. That changed her location of living. That changed the lifestyle she can provide her family. And that feels so good to me. That direct client impact of getting a text or an email or hopping on a follow-up call. And I mean, think about it, right? Like $72,000, $75,000, that's a big lifestyle change that allows opportunity. And whatever that looks like, whether it's paying off debt or traveling or for education for your children, whatever that looks like for your freedom, right? That's another thing that just lights me up. That I'd say it's time, freedom, money in a positive way, because money gives access to opportunities. And mental health is really big, right? So I see a lot of people sign up with me and they have no confidence. It's down because of their managers. It's really down. And it's not that they're not confident people. Their manager has knocked them down over and over again. And so when they work with me to see where they come out after they see themselves branded on a piece of paper as a different person, the confidence level just goes to the roof because they're seeing it for the first time. Yes, they are very different from what they were doing. And it just confirms, yes, they could do it.
Welcome to the Insightful Nurse Leader. This podcast is focused on assisting nurse leaders become effective managers and change facilitators. Welcome to the 18th episode of the Insightful Nurse Leader. Today, we are joined with an awesome guest. She is a global career transition coach, LinkedIn marketing strategist, and hiring specialist, Erin Anderson. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Miles. I appreciate you having me here.
Awesome. So, Erin, what exactly is a career transition coach?
So I get this question a lot. A lot of people always think that they need to seek out a career coach, or sometimes they'll also be known as a career professional development expert. It's something that I hear quite frequently that they get recommended from a mentor or a therapist. It always kind of varies. They usually don't get there on their own. They're recommended through somebody else, and they type in these keywords and they figure out, you know, what does a career coach actually look like? The thing is, a career coach is very broad, right? As you know, there are several areas of different careers, whether it's healthcare or it's tech, and we all specialize in different things. In addition to that, a career coach just pretty much helps people in general in their career. So that could be kind of in a mentor standpoint where you work with that career coach for the majority of your lifetime, and they're teaching you how to negotiate. They're teaching you how to move to the next stage. It's not that I can't do that and I don't do that, but I usually work with my clients for a max of 90 days to 6 months, if that being the max, because I really help you. I'm probably the person that you might add to that mentor or career coach where I help you transition specifically from one thing to the next. And that usually looks like branding or LinkedIn, which we're going to dive into today. But really, transition means a certain period of time in your life where you're not enjoying what you're doing, or it's not lighting you up, you're not filling your purpose, and therefore you need to transition from one industry, one job title, whatever that looks like, to the next.
Very nice. That's very interesting. Thank you for explaining that, because at the beginning, or even just my limited knowledge, my understanding is like have someone help you with, you know, crafting your resume or having a second look of your resume or refining that, like keywords and such, or, you know, a one and done thing, a boutique kind of strategy. But that's good to know that it's almost like you're walking them through the entire process.
It's definitely a process or a journey for sure, because I don't, you know, I've helped people on occasion when they just need a resume, but I really don't do that because somebody who needs a resume doesn't just need a resume, right? They need the whole package. They need help navigating what they want to do. Or maybe they just need another perspective of somebody saying, is this really what you want to do? And then they don't just need the resume, because they need the LinkedIn, they need the cover letter, they need the guidance, they probably need interview coaching help, they probably need help negotiating their salary because they're not doing it already. So it really comes down to the whole package instead of the one-off service. And I start talking with clients, they'll start to realize, wait, LinkedIn is that important? Or what do you mean I have to negotiate my salary? And that's always a possibility. So you know, right. I really help on that consult call. It's to get them to realize that it's not one and done and that it takes time, right? I mean, when we build our personal brand or we're building our career brand, it's for the long term and everything's a step. So what we've done in the past, we're not throwing it away, which you know well, right? We're taking it with us and we're figuring out how can we really construct it. I always think of it like Legos because we're always building on top of it. How can we how can we take that, you know, the Lego that maybe doesn't fit quite right in the grooves and find a piece, and how can we make it fit? How can we make it part of that masterpiece? Because, you know, everything that we've done in our past in some which way can fit into the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, insightful. So what motivated you to help other professionals transition to different roles?
Yeah. So like many of you probably listening, I was in two extremely toxic work cultures, which we've all been in. And to be honest, I think there's, I always talk about transition and toxic work cultures on a spectrum, because there really is not a culture, unfortunately, where something isn't toxic, because people think of a culture as a whole, which it is. But there's always at least one person in the work culture, unfortunately, even if it's a great company, that displays toxic work culture behavior. So you're going to encounter it at some stage. Same with transition. You could stay at the whole company your whole life, but at some point you've transitioned to the next level, right? So there's always transition working together with that. And so I was in two toxic work cultures within the financial services industry. The first, verbal, which I know is very common, unfortunately, in nursing. I know many people in the field, and I've heard stories, and I'm sure Miles can tell you many too, about how this field, you know, a field that is so highly in demand is interesting, right? Too, is that how it remains toxic when they need to retain employees, but yet they're not investing in their culture. And that's amazing to me. I thought that, you know, and I do see the outreach there, but it's just fascinating to see that healthcare is still struggling in terms of investing in their employees that they otherwise literally can't run a company, right? Or a hospital without. And so I decided to leave and help other people transition as I have. I'm typically helping those staying within. I have helped people transition to their own business, but I'm usually helping them transition into another full-time role that gives them purpose, that makes them feel appreciated. That's a higher salary. I started doing this work because I realized there weren't a lot of people working in the transition space. There's a lot of resume writers out there, a ton. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people actually helping you navigate and say, oh, that's what it is, because we tend to be biased against ourselves. I would never, with all my years of experience and clients, I would never do this for myself. I would go to another transition coach, because it's so easy for us to say, you know what? I can't actually do that. That's not for me, without looking into it further or hearing why it's a good fit. We tend to be biased against ourselves, and that's the most difficult part of a transition. So that's why I really got started, to help people figure out, without their own biases, how do we move forward? What is it that we move forward with, and how do we brand ourselves accordingly?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I resonate with that, because, and also to add on as well, is that also, you got to find a career transition coach that you are a fit with, right?
100%.
Because, right, there are others who are just like one and done, yeah. But truly try to invest time understanding what are you trying to achieve.
I love that. One of the most satisfying things I get, and I had two just in the past 2 weeks, is I have repeat clients all the time. And it's not because the transition didn't work. That I was speaking to a family member yesterday, and they're like, well, why did they come back? Did it not work? I'm like, no, they came back because it worked, right? You don't go back to the same store when a shirt has a hole in it. You go back because the quality worked. You still have the shirt and you purchase something else. It's that it was a successful transition. And now they're coming back for different things. They found another role at a company. They need a resume update at this point. They're moving into a director position. How do they now, they've transitioned to a new industry or role. Now they need to apply for a director role. How do we brand this leadership? How do we negotiate a salary? You know, how do we write a cover letter at the next level of leadership? And I get these repeat clients. I've had one client, two of them actually now at this point, like four times. And I always tell them that I have a lot of appreciation for them, because Miles, prior to this, as business owners, we're very good at investing in ourselves, maybe too much so sometimes. But as a career professional, and I can say at my stage, I wasn't like that. We're not trained in corporate at all to invest in ourselves. Even when we're given professional development budgets, it's widely underutilized. And sometimes we're just not given direction on how to do it. But these people have come back to me because they realize that I can help them in several different stages. And honestly, if you're going into a director role, that's a transition in itself. And that client had reached out about, you know, do you know anybody else that works in with like time management, for example? Do you know a coach in that? Because now she's reaching another level with more responsibilities. how do we now transition our time management skills, right? And it kind of all spirals. I mean, transition is everything.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Even within the same organization where we work.
Yeah, 100%. Like even a lateral move, right, to the next stage. And something else that came up interesting recently is one of my clients was moving into a new role, and she thought that she couldn't ask for a higher salary, you know, based on people who had previously been in the position. And I said, well, you have a master's degree. You have certifications. It doesn't matter what the last person made or the range for that role. You're really at the top of that range, right? So thinking about another client, she's like, well, I've only done internship experience. Okay, but you have a master's degree, right? Maybe the last person didn't. So how the key here really is, how can we always find a way to differentiate ourselves? That's really important.
Mm-hmm. Which we're not always good at, particularly in the nursing field. So you focus mainly on supporting mid and executive level career professionals, right? Transitioning to across industries. Have you noticed any trends that's worth noting where professionals transition to?
Yes. So trends in management specifically, people tend to, especially between the ages of, I'd say 38 to 58, they start to find they're very unsatisfied by their salary. They're unsatisfied by their title. They feel like they should have been at a higher level, whether it's a nurse or another corporate professional by this time. They feel for their level, they're mistreated. That's a really big one, that they've put in 20, 40 years of experience and they are not being treated as a manager. And depending on like the size of a healthcare organization, I see this a lot. I do feel coming out of COVID with these 2.5 years of companies in some cases being forced to invest in their employees that, you know, we're kind of on the upward trend of that. It will start to happen. But I definitely at this level see, you know, just the trend of dissatisfaction, unfortunately, with themselves, but it's never their fault. And that's a whole mindset to work around first. And that's something I work on too, is let's first realize that it wasn't us. It was our organizations and management. We kind of become brainwashed by this culture of, well, it must be something I did. It must be because I didn't go for the master's, I didn't go for the certification. I didn't advocate for myself. And it's actually looking at leadership in the organization. And sometimes that means leaving. And it doesn't always mean a transition from a nurse to corporate, but it could be even a different hospital system, right? That's a transition. Same title, different company is a transition. And maybe it's stepping up for the first time and saying, okay, I don't have to stay here, because 9 out of 10 times, unfortunately, in a toxic work culture, you have to leave.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, myself, I've experienced this as well, including other nurses, the dilemma, right? Mm. And as nurses, we're very invested, altruistic. Mm-hmm. You want to help solve problems of society, of world. And the biggest barrier or, you know, challenge for us to really navigate around is, the first question is, do I try to fix my work environment?
Oh.
Or is it my responsibility to fix my work environment? Or do I just leave? What is your recommendation with clients have experiencing the same dilemma?
Okay. So based on how you have felt support in an organization is going to be a key indicator of whether the organization is going to do something about it or not. If this organization has invested in you in the past and their employees, and that's part of who they are, there's a chance. I can tell you 9 out of 10 times HR takes the side of the organization and is not going to help you. And that is the biggest thing. You know, my long-term impact I want to have, and I think Miles and I have discussed previously, is like, I really want to come into these organizations, and I am. I'm doing this for organizations that consult with HR, but HR and employee relations. Here's this other role, or DE&I. Here's these other roles that have been employed, sometimes employee resource groups. And how can you both work together? They should not be two separate departments on opposite sides of the organization, right? How can we work to find common ground? It's funny, I live in New York City, and there's a lot of very well-known New York Health Administration companies up here that, you know, you drop the name, they're like, of course it's toxic. Like, that's how it's always been. Like, what organization wants to be known as that, right? And so, you know, with HR, it's how can we find a balance of, you know, your hands are tied because the company's paying you, okay, but you have 90% of your workforce is dissatisfied. And so it's really finding a balance of, here, I want you to think of it as, you're probably going to have to leave 9 out of 10 times, but how can we make a lasting impact on when we leave? We're probably going to leave, okay, but it doesn't hurt. It's never going to hurt you to go to HR if you have a plan. I'm not going to say that going to HR always helps or there's never a problem because it can escalate an issue. I'm very transparent about that. But if you have a job search that you're currently working on and you go to HR and you have documentation, I usually say the level of toxicity. I mean, if it is a case that you can sue the company, absolutely pursue versus something, you know, and you could have a consultation with a lawyer about this. But again, remembering that HR is not your best friend. They're not always going to stick up for you. But going to HR is going to get it documented, which means that the next time, the second, the third, the fourth person report whatever the issue is, you did your deed or you can leave that organization feeling good because you've made an impact. Because for the first person to step forward and there's no other documentation, I always say in my cases, mine was with people that had been in the organization for 10, 15, 17 years. And I had been there 6 months, 2 years. And so they're like, who is this person complaining? We've never had a complaint before. If the person before me had said something and it's documented. So I want you to think in that respect that if you have documentation and you want to have an impact and you want to sleep at night once you leave, not feeling bad that it could be happening to somebody else, think about your impact, but have a job search plan. I always say have a job search plan before going to HR, at least be comfortable with leaving because sometimes they put PIP agreements, which stands for performance improvement plan, in place. And, you know, that goes down the whole rabbit hole because then they're worried about lawsuits. It's always covering yourself. I mean, documentation for me, in my experience, was key. You know, when you march into HR, unfortunately, there are people that do make up things, right? And so how is HR determining whether what you're saying is right or wrong? You really always have to cover yourself. That's the biggest thing with HR.
Yeah. Thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
So people reaching out to you. The most of them already have made up their mind on leaving or they're still on the fence. How do you help them?
Oh, I love that question. I've never been asked that one before. You know, everybody that reaches out to me, I have a link to apply for a consult before. And because like what you said in the beginning is not everyone is a good fit. I have other connections and other career coaches that I think it's not that somebody's not a fit or I can't help them. Sometimes people just have an extreme specialty and I think that they're a better fit or they're going to be able to get that person further, maybe in the long term. So I have an application and you have to apply and there's about 10 questions just to make sure that I think that you're ready to go. Everybody that fills out the application because they've had to answer the question is ready to invest, is ready to leave. I would say that those people are not always ready to leave tomorrow, but they're highly dissatisfied. They've kind of had it. They're at wit's end. They're upset. I always joke that my job is part-time therapist because it's right. Like there's a lot of emotions involved, right? And when they've reached the stage of coming to me, because I'm not a career coach that does preventative work, a career coach gets your resume in order, you know, everything's ready to go in case there's another pandemic, God forbid, knock on wood, right? Or there's something else coming. And I advocate for that. Always have everything prepared. A transition coach comes in when there's an issue. So there's some kind of problem stirring and why emotions get involved. And as many of you listening probably know, is it starts to affect other aspects of your life. So your relationships, your family, your activities, maybe your mental health, your physical health. And so by the time they come to me, you know, they're boiling and several things are not right. Right? Like their marriage has started to fail, unfortunately, because they're so unhappy at work and coming home. And so, you know, I would say I help them navigate and actually take the step forward, but they're all dissatisfied highly.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, by the way. So let's say they are a good fit, right? How does the process work? How do you onboard them to your program?
Sure. So as I mentioned before, I don't work with people that just say, I need a resume. Because I'm like, no, you don't. You need everything. And then they're talking to me. They really realize that. So they work with me in one of three ways. I always say my first person is, you know, somebody that comes and they say, okay, I'm ready to move. I really enjoy marketing. Okay. But I'm in social media and I want to move to influencer management. Okay, great. For example, here would be a marketing example. Okay, I would consider that a fairly small transition. That's a branding transition. We're not going to have to spend a lot of time convincing you. You already know what you want to do. You feel confident. That's really branding from there. That person comes to me knowing, I know what I want to transition into. Great. I might give them other ideas, but they're confident, they're happy, they just want the next level. Okay. Or another area, because digital marketing's, you know, taking off. So, and the influencer world, as we all know. So the other two people would be, they come to me and they say, I'm a nurse, for example. I have no idea what I want to do. I'm in finance. I hate it. I have no idea what I want to do. I want to transition into something completely different. Those are very large transition clients, because we have to figure out what are you qualified for and what are you going to like. And those two things work very closely hand in hand, because I can't put you something into something that, you know, you're already unhappy, right? I can't put you something into just because you're qualified here, go here. That's not how it works. And so we need to work together to figure out, how are we going to navigate? What does this look like? And that's extensive coaching. That's a report. And then once we really determine what it is, okay, are you going to work with me over 30, 60 days, 90 days plus? And that always comes down to, are you working full time and how accountable are you to yourself? And I don't judge either category. I call them handholders in a positive way. I'm a handholder. I like a business coach meeting every single week. I don't want to see a business coach once a month. I need people to check in. I need accountability. If you couldn't tell, I'm a very type A person that likes structure and I get things done. But I need, you know, I always say it's like a CEO still has a board of directors, right? If you leave corporate or you leave nursing and you no longer have a manager, you have to have something there to like hold you accountable. And so when I work with clients, you know, I have seen people be phenomenal at being accountable to themselves. And they do. They get it done. They come home and they apply to five jobs, or they come on the weekends and they put in the time. Other times people have families or they're upset at work. They're having a really toxic work culture. They come home upset. And the thought of just even getting on and applying to jobs and not knowing where to start is grueling. So I help both people. It just depends on how much you work with me, how frequently and how long, because you may be super determined to get it done. Other people just need help, and that's okay. That's what a coach is, right? Like, I help guide you into that transition. So yeah, I would say it's the, you know, the 3 week, the 6 week, and the 90 day client. And it's how long it's going to take. Keep in mind, an average job search without transition is 3 months. I would say transition is about 3 to 6. So that's fairly standard. And it could be 2 weeks, right? It's a hot hiring market. I just always say set those expectations of knowing that, don't wait, because, you know, people are like, oh, it's on my radar. I think I'm going to do this in the future. Okay, well, but you need to start it now, because it's 3 to 6 months out, right? So if we start September, you're probably landing the job after Christmas, maybe, or right before, right? So thinking about that holiday season too, I always say this, is people are like, oh, I'm not going to apply during the holidays. I see some of the best jobs posted during the holidays, because companies have to meet budget. And if they don't, they eliminate the position. So never stop a job search. I actually say, if you have the time, increase it, because everybody else stops. So you'll stick out and you'll have a better chance.
I agree. You don't have much competition.
No, not at all.
That's very good insight. Thank you for sharing that and walking this through.
Yeah.
So why do you love your work, Erin?
Well, we couldn't tell already. My thing is really the impact, right? So when I see these repeat clients coming back and I see their progress, I see that not only did they transition, but now within a year or two, now they're on a director level on a transition and something they had no experience in before. I had a client recently that I worked with, and we increased her salary $72,000 by increasing to another organization. That changed her life, right? That's not $5,000, $10,000. That changed her location of living. That changed the lifestyle she can provide her family. And that feels so good to me. That direct client impact of getting a text or an email or hopping on a follow-up call. And I mean, think about it, right? Like $72,000, $75,000, that's a big lifestyle change that allows opportunity. And whatever that looks like, whether it's paying off debt or traveling or for education for your children, whatever that looks like for your freedom, right? From maybe working, I worked with someone else recently that had to work two jobs to get to the same salary, transition to her at one. So hours back with family and friends, right? That's another thing that just lights me up. That I'd say it's time, freedom, money in a positive way, because money gives access to opportunities. And mental health is really big, right? So I see a lot of people sign up with me and they have no confidence. It's down because of their managers. It's really down. And it's not that they're not confident people. Their manager has knocked them down over and over again. And so when they work with me to see where they come out after they see themselves branded on a piece of paper as a different person, the confidence level just goes to the roof because they're seeing it for the first time. Yes, they are. For example, if it's a nurse, now they are a clinical researcher in a huge pharmaceutical company. Very different from what they were doing. And it just confirms, yes, they could do it. And that to me is, I don't think there's anything better than, for me at least, of, you know, I'm helping the direct impact on the client and I'm seeing it and they keep in touch with me. So I'm seeing it over and over again. One other thing is I would see is since 2020, I've put my business in a lot of Facebook groups. And if I reply to somebody that's looking for a transitioner in toxic work culture and I see like a stream of comments of, she's great, she helped me, I transitioned to this. I'm like, oh my God, I did that. You know, it just feels really good to know that I didn't have a transition coach when I was in the depths of toxic work culture and showing people their possibility. I mean, it's probably the feeling a professor gets, you know, at graduation or something, like seeing people graduate, but they're like my students of, oh, wow, look, like they were capable of doing what they thought they couldn't.
Very nice. That's very deep. And thank you. So Erin, obviously LinkedIn is a platform for the best platform for professionals by far here in the US. What is an effective LinkedIn marketing strategy?
Yeah. So for career professionals specifically, when it comes to a marketing strategy, it's all about really getting optimized, not only optimized, but being active. So knowing that when we have a profile that has us very established and we're easy to find, okay, how do we continue to stay relevant? So how are we, you know, a lot of people get very caught up. I had someone reach out to me yesterday of, oh, I don't have time to create content this week. I'm stressed, like creating content. It just feels heavy to me. Which I really suggest creating about a post a week or once every 2 weeks. I would not stress about constant content because that's only going to put us in a feeling of like feeling we have to do something versus we want to do something. But when we create content, it's also about engaging. So are we engaging with others' posts? I always say I live in New York City. So when I'm on the subway, I'm on LinkedIn. How can I support people on the platform? The more that you engage and support other people, your posts are always going to do better. So like if I'm posting on a Monday, Thursday and Friday, I want to heavily engage. I want to talk to other people on posts. I want to comment. I want to like. It's all about reciprocation. A lot of people think it's one and done. Nothing's permanent on the platform. That's another thing. But I, you know, when I'm talking about optimization on profiles, they can always be updated. People get really panicked and they're like, oh, I don't know if I should put that up there. Very editable. You can go on and change anything at any time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier before this conversation about it's like SEO. For LinkedIn. Mm, mm-hmm. So how does that work? Like keyword specific search or hashtag, what have you?
Yeah, good question. So I always say that the easiest way to think about it is if you search your name or your business, LinkedIn typically pops up before a website. So there's a lot of power in that because you could have paid thousands of dollars for your website or thousands of dollars for SEO a month. And in the end, LinkedIn typically pulls up first. And if it's not, we can get it there and work on optimization. But the key thing is, you want to make sure that when somebody's searching for what it is exactly that you do, especially like when you're niche like Miles is, how are we finding you specifically? So for example, I had a potential client recently. She was in Sarasota, Florida. We were not connected. So that's really powerful that she found me, not connected. B, not in her network, like we didn't have mutual connections. And C, not in my area, right? She is down the Southwest, or Southwest of Florida, definitely not the Northeast. And so she told me that every single time she typed in career transition coach, I came up at the very top. That's over people with 120,000 followers that I was beating out. That is where the power of LinkedIn is because there are people with 1,000 recommendations. There's people with 500,000 followers on LinkedIn, right? That are career transition coaches that started before me and have, I know, an immense amount of content and knowledge on LinkedIn. That has 20 plus years in business. And so that's the best example I can provide is that I beat out all those other people, not even in her territory. When I had a potential client recently from Australia, same thing. So now we're talking international. It's not just within the country. So the more that you're, it's keywords. The more that you are optimized in several different ways on a profile, because it's fairly extensive, the higher you'll be found organically in a search page. And what I like to think of is if you were, I live in New York, so I'm going to use pizza as an example. If we were to say, like, you know, type in like best pizza near me or something on a Friday, whatever comes up on page one of Google, like, you're automatically trusting. You're not going to pages 2, 3, and 4, unless maybe you live in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. But on that page one, you're probably going with 1 or 2, but at least you're looking at the 4 results. That's SEO, right? How high are we being shown up in a search? And it's very expensive. The great thing about LinkedIn is that it's free to do it. And so there's no ongoing maintenance. I don't want to say it's one and done because it can be editable as your business changes, but it's getting you so high in search results. Like the fact that I can get on calls and people are like, yeah, we saw you at the top. And I know people in my head, these names that are bigger on LinkedIn than I am. And they don't even have optimized profiles, right? So you always, it's not just page one. You want to have someone type in specifically what you do and you're in the search box. I mean, there's no, that beats out everything in my opinion. That beats out an ad. For instance, I have not paid for an ad in 2.5 years since I started my business. It's all for LinkedIn because people are naturally finding me and working with the ever-changing algorithm too.
Right. How do you know which words to use or to capitalize on as far as keywords?
Really, I usually tell my clients when we're working on LinkedIn to create almost like a web like they used to have a strong school where we have like all these, you know, lines coming out and we're saying what different things are and thinking about, you have to put yourself in your ideal client's shoes of, if I was trying to find what I did, say I was trying to find the exact same thing that somebody did. Okay, what am I going through? So I'm like, okay, career transition. And then I'll like a line comes out and it's like, but why? Well, toxic work culture, lack of management, low salary, for example. And then like another line might be, for example, like culture. Okay, like colleagues are a part of it. Vacation, benefits. And so like really figuring out those key areas and then just circling or highlighting, okay, these are what I want to be found by. This is what lights me up. Because you could have a specialty in salary negotiation, but maybe you don't actually like it. Well, then you don't want to be found by salary negotiation. That's what I find a lot of my clients on. I had a client that is a lawyer. Great. She does like 4 types a lot. She's like, but I don't want to keep getting requests for X. Well, we're not going to incorporate X, right? It's only what you want to be found by, like what work actually lights you up. That's what we want to highlight. Not just because you have a certification or you have a master's from Harvard. If you don't want to do that work, then that's irrelevant. Then it's almost blocking other areas, right? So.
Right, right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. So would you ever go back to the corporate world?
No, and I'm glad you asked this. When I started my business, I did this for a while on the side of my business. And then when I took it full time in June 2020 during the pandemic, it was always an option because I also was in a middle of a transition and all my interviews were put on hold during COVID. And so for me, it wasn't even, I started a business, never attending, like I didn't leave corporate. I was in an interview process. I used to actually use the terminology when I go back to corporate, which if you've ever done any mindset work is like the worst thing that you can do because you're almost projecting that on yourself. Like you are going to then, right? So I would say until maybe January or February this year. And of course, a lot goes into that, right? Like your income and steady income and opportunity, everything goes into what you decide if you're going back or not. And I also don't have kids, so I didn't have anyone to support. But I realized the impact, right? What I talked about earlier, like how I'm made to feel in my line of work, the different opportunities that come with it. I don't only work on the one-on-one side with individuals, I work on the corporation side. Great. So now, right, there's different ways to work with people and always finding a way of like innovation of how can you improve your business to have more impact, to work with more people, like through speaking engagements, for example, right? Through podcasts. And so yeah, January or February this year, I never said, I actually say like, I'm never going back. And I say like, if I had to, of course, right? Like we always do what we have to do. But that's just like not even an option at this point. It's if something's not working, how can I improve? How can I reach the next audience? How can I, you know, recently I started improving my message to target more specifically, like people talk about keywords. Okay, not only toxic work culture, but you know, who are the people that have suffered tremendously from anxiety from toxic work cultures? That's a whole nother line of people. How can we target them? Specifically, because when people come to me, they usually say, I've interviewed about 10 career coaches. They're not relatable. They didn't go through a toxic work culture. They didn't go through a transition themselves. Why would I hire them? People want to work with people that are relatable, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you're not, it just wouldn't make sense. It'd be like I always compare it to like a travel consultant that likes Disney and not the Caribbean and you want to go to the Caribbean, like she's going to talk you out of it and do something else, right? So like, or doesn't go international. And so you have to be aligned with those people. And so once I started seeing that and, you know, seeing these repeat clients, and my business has just expanded tremendously the past few years, it's a no-brainer to me. So no, I would never go back. It doesn't mean that I work with clients though and tell them to go open their own businesses all the time. Not everyone is cut out for entrepreneurship, which I'm sure you know, but it is, you know, sometimes I'll also work with people on transitioning their career to eventually open a business. And the reason for that is, I'll give you a lawyer for an example. A lawyer that wants to start their own business can't start their own business if they're in a toxic work culture. They don't have time and they don't have the emotional capacity. Let's transition them into a corporate role out of law or out of healthcare. Let's get them happy. Let's get them a good salary. Let's get them in a good mindset. And now they don't care on a Friday or a weekend or a night to come home and work on their business and growing it because they're not burnt out. That's key. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could be a side gig, could be a business long term. So I don't want to say I don't help with that, but you know, regardless of whatever it is that you wanted, if you wanted to get married, if you wanted to have kids, you have to get yourself out of step one. I had someone recently that reached out to me. I want a consult. I want a consult. And then she wrote back later on. She was like, I just have too many things going on personally right now. Like, that person's not ready. But I wrote a fairly long email back saying, no pressure, but I'm writing you back because I've been in your shoes. And if we continue to ignore it, it's only going to get worse. And everything that you have personally going on right now that's not working out is probably due to your job, really. So if we don't fix that, it's A, not going to change, it's going to get worse. So, you know, those are people that sometimes it took me a while to realize it, but I'm really helping with that too. How can we get ahead of the problem so it doesn't just keep piling on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really glad that you said that. You know, I resonate so much with what you said. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to answer the question I ask you as well. I would never see myself going back to the corporate world. Yeah. And there's just so much awareness, I would say, on myself, the value that I offer.
Sure.
And specifically, I'm working on patenting a few tools mm-hmm. for the app that I'm building. And I didn't realize that there was so much of the things that I created that I didn't value from mm-hmm. an intellectual property perspective, not until I left my role in a traditional leadership setting or hospital setting.
Sure.
And it's not the fault of the hospital. It's just mm-hmm. the system of as it is.
Correct.
And truly taking ownership and taking accountability, going back to what you mentioned, not everyone's cut out for entrepreneurship. Totally agree with that. But whether you want to transition to a different role, a higher level or what have you, especially in business, you got to know your worth. Because if you don't have self-worth, you will always undermine yourself.
Yeah, it's constant doubt, right? I mean, it's talk about people that say it's not always a good fit. Like, if someone comes to me and they're closed-minded right off the bat, and I think that there's no way I can budge that, I'm not going to waste their time and money either and say, let's work together. Because if you're not willing to see your potential on LinkedIn or through a resume or through a job, you're not going to interview well. And so now we're working on all these materials for you to what? Stay in the same position and apply and not get, right? Like, people can see in an interview when you're not confident. People, you know, there's nothing worse than trying a salary negotiation but not believing in yourself. Like, asking for more money. Like, and I work with people on that a lot because they'll say, like, you know, I want to negotiate my salary. And I'm like, well, that's great. But do you believe you're worth that? And they're like, no. I'm like,
right.
Well, then
we
can't ask for that much. Because then when they, you know, tip on salary negotiation, when they come back and say, like, well, why do you think you're worth that? And you can't say, well, my master's, my certification, and this, and you freeze, they're gonna be like, sorry, like, this is what it is, you know? So you have to get a stage to believing in yourself. And I definitely work with that at my clients, but I just don't work with closed-minded people that aren't open to seeing their potential, just like you said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Wow. Very insightful.
Yeah.
Well, how can our listeners connect with you?
Yes. So my two main platforms, obviously LinkedIn. If you go on LinkedIn, I'm under my name. Keep in mind, my last name is SCN at the end. So that's something in order to find me. My company is called Your Brand Networker. If you search it, you can find LinkedIn. My Instagram is also under Your Brand Networker. I would appreciate follows there. I do share a lot of content that'll probably resonate with people here, as well as tips on the job search process. You can feel free to message me on any platform. If you go to my bio on Instagram or my featured section, there are some resources there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this very insightful conversation.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit milesperillaconsulting.com/podcast. And before you go, make sure you follow or subscribe to this podcast so you can receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for joining me. This is your host, Miles Perilla, and you're listening to The Insightful Nurse Leader. I'll see you next time.